Blog Talk Radio.
Rejoice and be glad in it. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his holy name together. Let us enter his court with thanksgiving, and let us enter his holy court with praise. Good morning, my brothers and sisters. You are indeed listening to the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience for this Sunday, March the 3rd, 2024. Now, I am Apostle Shalene Cook, but as always, I am joined by my wonderful Spirit Alive family in the persons of Bishop Lester Carver, Pastor Vanessa Carver, Apostle Zeta Flowers, Deacon William Isbell. And we also have our elders in the house with us this morning. We have Elder Lee, Elder Terry, Elder Linda, and Elder Nita. So on behalf of all of us here this morning, we would like to welcome you to the service. Hallelujah. And we are truly praying that not only will you hear something that will lift your spirit, we're praying that you hear something that will bless your very soul. Now, won't you please bow your hearts and heads with me as we go to the Lord in prayer and get this praise party started. Oh, Most High, we come this morning singing glory and praises to your holy and righteous name. We thank you, Lord, that you have allowed us to come together one more time to be in your service. Lord, we want to thank you for allowing us to come together and worship you again today in spirit and in truth. Now, Father, if there is anything that we have done this morning that is not pleasing to you, we pray individually and collectively that you forgive us, O God, create in us a clean heart and renew in us a right spirit, because we want to do all things in excellence unto you. We pray for our listeners this morning, Lord. We pray for those that don't know you in the pardon of their sin. We pray that you will use our testimonies, use our praise, use our worship, O God, to lift you up in a way that you can draw all men to yourself. Lord, we just pray for those who have been hurt by the church, and we pray that today they would come to realize and understand that the way they are treated by people in the church is not always representative of who you are. So we pray that today would be the day that they would return to their first love, which is you, God. We just thank you for this time and this season, and we pray it all in Jesus' holy and righteous name. Amen and amen. To God be the glory, say.
Pressure fell on me. I thought I was
Oh, hallelujah, and thank you, Jesus. It is now time for this morning's meditational reading. And this morning, I will be standing in Mother Mitchell's stead, and I am asking that my Spirit Alive family and all my Spirit Alive friends would keep my beloved mother, Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell, lifted up in prayer. Hallelujah. Today's meditational reading is entitled, Trust Me Enough. Trust me enough to let things happen without striving to predict or control them. Relax and refresh yourself in the light of my everlasting love. My love light never dims, yet you are often unaware of my radiant presence. When you project yourself into the future, rehearsing what you will do or say, you are seeking to be self-sufficient, to be adequate enough without my help. This is a subtle sin, so common that it usually slips by unnoticed. The alternative is to live fully in the present, depending on me each moment. Rather than fearing your inadequacy, rejoice in my abundant supply. Train your mind to seek my help continually, even when you feel competent to handle something by yourself. Don't divide your life into things you can do by yourself and things that require my help. Instead, learn to rely on me in every situation. This discipline will enable you to enjoy life more and to face each day confidently. That was taken from Psalm 37, 3 through 6, and Philippians 4, 19. And may the Lord add a blessing to the hearers, and especially the readers and doers of his holy and righteous word. Amen.
Amen. I'm restored, and I've been rewarded. I'm redeemed from guilt and shame. Never rejected, just reconnected. Now I'm exalted, because I know his name. Thank you for my storm. I'm restored. And I've been rewarded. I'm redeemed from guilt and shame. Never rejected, just reconnected. Now I'm exalted, because I know his name.
I like this part right here. It's all over.
Yeah.
you let me go through it so that you could bring me out.
Glory to God. We serve a restorative God. Hallelujah. Saints, it is now prayer time here at the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience. And we want you to know that when we pray here, hallelujah, we pray totally trusting, expecting, and believing that God will do exactly what he says he'll do. Because he has declared in his holy word that when he abides in us and we abide in him, that we can ask what we will and it shall be done. The
yes.
Lord did not say, I'll think about it. The Lord didn't say, perhaps. The Lord didn't say, maybe. He said, it shall be done.
Amen.
And we know that we serve a good God, and his grace and his mercy endureth forever. So, saints of God, right now, I want to once again ask you to bow your head and your heart as we go to God's throne room under the direction of his anointed apostle, Apostle Zeta Flowers. Amen.
Praise God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. God bless each and every one of you as we prepare to go into prayer to the throne of grace. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We come to you, Lord, with thanksgiving, thanking you for who you are, thanking you for how you have blessed us. We thank you for waking us up this morning, giving us a new day, a new start, new opportunities. We thank you for allowing us to serve you. We thank you for that this morning, Father God. So we go into prayer, lifting up others all over the world, asking you to move in a mighty way, to move in a miraculous way, in the name of Jesus. We lift up those that are hurting. We lift up those that are suffering. We lift up those, Lord, that need a healing, that need deliverance. Hallelujah. We lift them up to you, God. We lift up the bereaved ones. We lift up those that have lost loved ones. We ask, Lord, that you would comfort them, that you would be with them in the name of Jesus. We pray that you would be a lifter of their souls in the name of Jesus. And we pray, Lord, for those that are shut in this morning, those that would love to be out that cannot be. We ask, Lord, that you would strengthen them, that you would help them, that you would heal
yes,
them
Lord.
In the name
yes,
of
Lord.
Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we praise you, hallelujah, for what you're doing right now, for those that you are touching right now, in the name of Jesus, those that you're blessing, those that you're healing, hallelujah. We thank you for the miracles that are being wrought right now. We thank you and we praise you. Hallelujah. We lift up those, Lord, that are suffering from domestic violence, from human and child trafficking in the name of Jesus. And we lift up those that are missing, children that are missing, even grown-ups that are missing. We pray, Lord, that you will touch them, touch their lives, those that are still with us, we pray that you would bring them back to their families in the name of Jesus safely. Hallelujah. We pray for their safety in the name of Jesus. Watch over them, Lord. Guard over them. Cover them with your blood. In
yes,
the name
Lord.
Of Jesus. In the
yes.
name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Those that need to be rescued, we pray that you will continue to rescue them, Lord, that you will send those that can help them, hallelujah, into these remote places and hidden areas, Lord, where they are. We pray that they would be brought out in the name of Jesus, that they would be spared, that they would be saved in Jesus' name, that they would be ministered to in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That they will receive the therapy that they need. And we just pray for them, Lord, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Yes,
oh, Jesus. God, touch right now in the name of Jesus. We pray for those that are in prison and in juvenile halls and jails. We pray for them, Lord. We pray that you will continue to send your people into these places that they may know who you are in the pardoning of their sins. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We pray for those, Lord, that are preparing for election. And we pray, Lord, that you would step in the name of Jesus, that you would handle these situations in the political realm in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Only you can fix it. So we're looking to you, God. We're depending on you in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Praise your holy name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And we pray for these babies, hallelujah, that are these little ones, toddlers and all, that are getting their hands on fentanyl and all kinds of other drugs. And we just pray for their protection. We pray for your hand upon them, God, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We come against the murdering spirit. We come against the those, Lord, that are just killing, hallelujah, for no reason. Hallelujah. We come against that spirit right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We bind that spirit in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we pray for those, hallelujah, that have been affected by this kind of thing in Jesus' name. Oh, God, we pray for your hand of protection all over, hallelujah, in the schools, in the churches, hallelujah, in homes. We pray for the innocent in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We pray for justice in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. We thank you that you are moving. We thank you that you are moving by your spirit. We lift up the unsaved all over the world in the name of Jesus.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Jesus.
In the name of Jesus, in our homes, in our communities, in the name of Jesus, all across the United States and all of the nations in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We pray for souls. We pray for a great harvest in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh, God. Hallelujah. We lift up our churches. Hallelujah. We pray for righteousness. Righteousness in our servant leaders. Righteousness, hallelujah, among those that are members of churches. We pray, hallelujah, for your righteousness. We pray, Lord, for you, hallelujah, to move, hallelujah, in the church in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that you're rooting out the evilness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We pray for restoration in Jesus' name. Restore, hallelujah, restore your church in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' holy and righteous name. We lift up everyone that's listening in this morning. We pray, Lord, that they will hear a word this morning. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. That the rhema word, hallelujah, will touch, hallelujah, and have effect upon them in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We pray that even this morning, hallelujah, in this service, that someone will turn their lives over to you. Hallelujah. That they will be saved. Hallelujah. That they will accept you. Hallelujah. That they will believe, hallelujah, in you this morning. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for what you've done. We thank you for what you're yet going to do in Jesus' name. And we lift up the Spirit Alive Ministries. We lift up Apostle Shirley Cook. We
bless
lift up her
Apostle.
Dear mother this morning. We ask that you would touch
Jesus.
Mother Mitchell this morning. Hallelujah. Whatever the situation is, we know that you can fix it. We know that you can heal it.
Lord.
We know that you will take care of it. So we're placing her in your hands this morning. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Give her strength, God, in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord.
Bless her to feel your presence this morning. In the
name
of Jesus.
Lord.
In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And we lift up others, Lord. We lift up Mother Martina.
Yes.
the other mothers that are often listening in.
Yes.
We lift them up to you this morning in the name of Jesus. We lift up Evangelist Michelle Scott. We lift up her family in the name of Jesus. Ask the Lord that you would move in a special way for them in Jesus' name. That you would touch, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. That you would comfort Mother Mati, hallelujah, in the loss that she spoke about. In the name of Jesus, that you would touch. In Jesus' name, that she would receive your comfort, your healing, in Jesus' name. And we thank you for it, Lord. We thank you and we praise you. Hallelujah. Strengthen Apostle Shirlene Cook. Continue to bless the ministry. In the name of Jesus.
You.
Have your way, God. Hallelujah.
Please,
with all of us. In the name of Jesus.
Lord.
We ask, Lord, that you would bless us according to what we need right now. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. You have prepared for us. And we pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, that we will just accept, hallelujah, what you have in store for us and receive it in Jesus' name and be thankful unto you.
Yes.
And we praise you for it. Amen and amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
I am a Christian. Do you know what that means? That means I'm far from perfect, simply redeemed, bought with a purpose, purchased by love. It's not a form of religion, but a gift from above. I am not perfect, no. But I have been redeemed. I am a believer. Do you know what that means? That means I've pledged my life, giving everything I never knew. Somebody paid the price for me. I offer up my life to him, and now I say again, I am not perfect. Oh, but I have been redeemed. Oh, yeah. I am your brother. Show you the way. We'll take this road together. Oh, take it day by day. Somehow I know we'll make this journey in. Make no mistake about it. You have been redeemed. While you were yet in your transgressions, somebody paid to set you free. So offer up your life to him, accept his love and we'll begin. Walk together, we have been redeemed. His life for you and me. So why not give your life to him, accept his love and then begin to stand together hand in hand
Beautiful worship service, and it is now time for this morning's teaching. And once again, our teaching for today will be found in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. And while you are looking that up, retrieving your Bibles and looking that up, and before we go deeper in God's word, I just want to take a moment to give our Heavenly Father all of the honor, glory, and praise simply because
yes.
He's worthy. Hallelujah. God is just so good. He's so loving. He's so kind, and he is ever, ever gracious towards us. And then the very same goes for our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I just love to give it up for him this morning. Hallelujah. I just want to thank him for setting me free. Hallelujah.
Yes,
and I also want to give honor to the awesome leadership here at Spirit Alive and to all of you, my brothers and sisters all over the world. I am praying only God's best for you and yours. Now, today our teaching is simply entitled Redemption, because the last time we were together, we looked at the fact that the word redemption means to bring back into rightful ownership through buying back a slave or a captive through the payment of a ransom. And today, like I said, we are going to go just a little bit deeper. But by the
Thank
time
you,
we're
Jesus.
Done today, some of you may feel as though I just misnamed this sermon, because I'll be teaching mostly about God's grace. We will be looking at the glory of God's grace, the abundance of God's grace, and our response to God's grace, because I think it's necessary that we approach this subject and handle it carefully and thoroughly.
Yes.
And
yes.
throughout this teaching, I want us each to keep before us that when Paul writes, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us, he is referring to our redemption back to God through the blood of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
So this morning, I submit to you that God's grace is redemption in motion. Oh, yes, grace is the vehicle that drives redemption. And we will be able to see the connection more as we go along. So now let's get down to the truth of the matter. Ephesians 1, verses 7 through 8 reads, and I'm reading from the King James Version. And if you are not, if you are listening to me on your smartphones, you can go to Bible.gateway.com and you can type in Ephesians 1, 7 through 8. And I am reading from the King James Version. And the Word of God reads as follows. It says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Father God, I just come one more time. Just asking you, Father, that I decrease so that you may have all the increase. Father, I pray that you use this message to edify, to empower,
yes.
to impact,
yes.
and to educate your people, to disciple
yes,
your
Lord.
People in a way that they will be able to live an abundant life right now. And
yes.
Lord, I pray for the lost this morning. I pray that through this message, they will hear something that will cause them to run to you, asking you to be their Lord and their Savior. And it is in your wonderful and matchless name I do pray it all. Amen and amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, I want to share the New Living Translation's version of these verses because I believe that we can really begin to get a sense of the heights, the depth, and the lengths that God will go to in order to demonstrate his love toward us. The New Living Translation reads, "He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave our sin. He has showered his kindness on us, along with all wisdom and understanding." Amen. That alone should cause us to rejoice. Hallelujah. Well, saints, I want to tell you this story. There was once a young preacher who was fairly certain he had it all figured out. He had a pretty good handle on the scriptures. He could clearly see the enormous gap between what the Bible says about how things should be and the actual condition of the world in and out of the church. Now, this young preacher, he took a measure of pride in the fact that since his salvation, he has stopped all of his bad habits from his former life. He no longer smoked, he no longer used any bad language, and he hadn't had any alcohol to drink for a very, very long time. He taught and preached godly living. Excuse me. Because like me, he believed that Christians should live like Christians instead of the pious, self-righteous, bad witnesses that so many of us are often proved to be because of our unchristlike behaviors. Now, the preacher did have a problem because when this young preacher counseled, it was without compassion. Now, when he preached, it was with fervent, impassioned exhortation to put away sin and stand for Jesus. But yet, he didn't know how much people were hurting inside. He didn't realize that in the privacy of their own homes, in the privacy of their own hearts, they were sad and they were weary to the point they were beginning to question their very acceptance with God. This young preacher didn't have a clue that so many of the things that he was exhorting them to do, they really wanted to do, but would find themselves weak or unable to do them consistently. And then finally they would allow those failures to plague and burned their minds so much that many of them were just ready to throw in the towel and give up. But then the time came that this young preacher was tired, weak, and stressed out himself, and he fell from his own high standard. You see, he let himself be lured into one of the enemy's oldest and most successful traps for men in full-time ministry. And in the end, he had no job. He lost his wife and family, and he found himself all alone on his own. You see, the same lack of grace that had so characterized his ministry was now following him like a hungry, relentless lion. The church that he had served so faithfully kicked him out. And not only that, they told him that he was going to lose his salvation. And you know what? for the next six years, the leadership of every church that that young preacher attended went out of their way to make it quite clear to him that he would always be a second-class citizen there because of his past. Until eventually, he stopped trying to fit into Christian circles altogether. But interestingly enough, he never stopped believing the gospel message. He never for a moment doubted the inerrancy and the infallibility of God's word. But then, with the help of all those prideful, holier-than-thou, oh, yet God-fearing pillars of the church that he came into contact with, this young man came to the conclusion that he was no longer acceptable to the church or to God. So he went his own way, building a new life and lifestyle that did not include the church at all. And now there was no Christian influence in his life apart from the Holy Spirit, who was just patiently sitting there, who's always there, leading, guiding, whispering, and waiting for just the right moment to begin the healing process. Hallelujah. In his book, What's So Amazing About Grace, Philip Yancey traces his own search for grace. What is grace really? Where can it be found? Why does it seem to be so lacking both in and outside of the church? Brother Yancey said, as I look back on my own pilgrimage marked by wanderings, detours, and dead ends, I see now that what pulled me along was my search for grace. I rejected the church for a time because I found so little grace there. I returned to the church because I found grace nowhere else. And with that, enough said, because I don't think I have to make much of an argument to convince people that there's just not much grace being shown in the world today. But I'm happy to announce that grace is alive and well. And I'm equally happy to announce that the ungrace of mankind does not nullify, cancel out, or wipe out the grace of God. You see, being backwards creatures due to the sin nature, if we take a close look, we will usually find that what comes naturally to men is precisely the opposite of who and what God is. So if you see a lack of grace in the world around you, then you can be certain that you will find an abundance of grace in God. Now, let's look a little closer at what Ephesians 1 has to say about us about that. Okay. Well, saints, we must first and foremost understand that all of the blessings that God has bestowed upon us, all of the things he has done in, for, and through us are ultimately done to bring him glory. Hallelujah. Now, if I were to say this about the motives of any man, the very idea would repulse us. When sinful man does good deeds, acts are seemingly unselfish, apparently sacrificing for himself or for another, and then we discover that their primary motivation was to bring attention or applause, or glory to himself, we as true believers are disgusted, as well we should be, because we know that none of these things bring glory to God. You know, I'm really convinced that this is the most selfish of acts, to pretend grace and benevolence toward others only for the sake of recognition and reward or money or political gain. None of these brings glory to God. But glory is the very nature of God. Glory is not something God attains to or draws upon himself. the way a football quarterback might draw up on a clever play or his arm for passing, or the way a great movie star might do superb acting, or a political figure might have those people-pleasing policies. No, what you need to know and understand this morning that God is glory. And as the conceiver and maker and sustainer of all there is, yes, the fundamental purpose of his creation is to bring forth praise to his glory. You see, man's chief end is to glorify God and then to enjoy him forever. And by the quickening power of the Holy Spirit, we will know and begin to understand the meanings of terms like, hallelujah, when God tells me that he blesses us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, or holy, we're holy and blameless before him, and we have been predestined. He predestined us to the adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself simply because of the kind intentions of his will. All I can do is shout, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Man, I'm talking about I fall on my face because I believe that pure and spontaneous praise is every believer's response to God's amazing grace. Oh, yes. We give God high praise to the glory of his infinite, marvelous grace, which proceeds toward us out of his glory. When we think about what God has done and all of the ways that he extends his grace as we grow and we move from glory to glory and faith to faith through the redemptive power of his Son, is what to the praise of his glorious grace, which he freely bestowed or poured out on us in the beloved, means, okay? Thank you, Jesus. Let me tell you something. Human thought and our vocabulary can't begin to do justice to the abundance of God's grace. I would even venture to say that no one that has ever lived while on earth understood or understands the depth of God's grace. Oh, yet some have tried to describe it. Dr. Charles Spurgeon, in closing a very lengthy but powerful sermon called The Treasure of Grace, declares, to sum up, the riches of God's grace, the riches of the grace of God are infinite, beyond all limit. They are inexhaustible. They can never be drained. They are all sufficient. They are enough for every soul that e'er shall come to take from them. There shall be enough forever while earth endureth until the last vessel of mercy shall be brought home safely. Ha! Not bad, Dr. Spurgeon. The Apostle Paul was also eager to use the term grace as often as he could squeeze it in. Hallelujah. In 2 Corinthians 9 and 14, he called it exceeding or surpassing grace. He says, and by their prayer for you, which long after you are exceeding grace of God in you. He tells us that he calls it the abundance of grace in Romans 5 and 17. It says, for the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and gift of righteousness. For all who receive it will live and triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. And Peter, oh, he got in on it too. Because he called God's grace the manifold grace of God. In 1 Peter 4 and 10, and by the way, here's a little food for thought, is the verse where Peter exhorts the readers to use the gifts of God that God has given them for one another. It's all for us to serve one another so that we can be good stewards of the manifold of grace. Now, Do I think I can do better or even as well as the others in trying to plunge into the bottomless depth and describe for you the abundance of God's grace? Nope. Sure can't. How can anyone ever think that you can possibly describe or do better than infinite? Now I'd like to stimulate your imaginations through God's holy truth by painting a picture of contrast. Paul points out in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3, that we were all by nature children of wrath before we came to Jesus. And what he means by that is that we all deserved the uninhibited outpouring of God's wrath because of sin. And before Christ Jesus, that was all we had to look forward to. And then in the third chapter of his letter to the Romans, he draws a very clear and ambiguous picture of the state and condition of the lost mankind before the holy and righteous God. He says, the way I've said it in the past is that not only did we not deserve heaven, we deserved hell. And we were not only undeserving of mercy, but we were absolutely deserving of wrath. But then, saints of God, then we read passages such as these, like 2 Corinthians 5 and 21. He made him, in parentheses, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Hallelujah. Romans 8, verses 3 and 4, and 4a through 4a tells us, for what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and as an offering for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh in order that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. And Hebrews chapter 10, verses 12 through 14 says, but he, having offered one sacrifice for sins for all time, sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time onward until his enemies be made a footstool for his feet. For by one offering he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. Now, if you can just imagine that all of God's wrath against sin was poured out on his son on Calvary's cross, if you can even begin to comprehend that God held nothing back, so that all sin for all of time was judged in the body of Jesus as he hung there, pouring out his own blood as the one perfect sacrifice for sin, then, beloved, maybe you can begin to comprehend, and even perhaps begin to understand that that's exactly the same way God pours out his grace upon you. It's the same way he pours out his grace upon me. And he does it all because of our faith in that perfect, atoning, and finished work of his son, Christ Jesus. You see, there's no more wrath for those of us that have put our faith in Jesus. We know that he, Jesus, paid it all. He took all of God's righteous wrath on his shoulders, and he took it away from us forever. Now, we have only God's infinite grace. He poured out all of his wrath on his son so that he could pour out all of his grace on you and me. So what should our response be? Well, I believe that the very first automatic response as a recipient of God's abundant and amazing grace is to offer up to God praise, thanksgiving, and worship by the way that we love, by the way that we live, and by the way that we serve. You see, recipients of grace walk like they have received God's grace. Just as Apostle Zeta taught just this past Wednesday, recipients of God's grace are a peculiar people because we now live in obedience to God. We now want everything that we say and do to please God and to bring him glory. God pours out his glory and grace on us, so we give all that glory right back to him. You see, our lives will be characterized by the word of God. It becomes our desire to be a living epistle for Jesus. We will make the decision each and every day to die to self, pick up our cross, and follow Jesus. And please know, beloved, that if you must completely unfollow the world in order to follow Christ Jesus completely. Hallelujah. A man named McIntosh once wrote, "The believer does not act in order to get life, but because he has it. He starts on his Christian career with the full assurance of pardon and acceptance in the beloved. Perfect justification is his starting post, and glory is his goal." So you see, we have a duty out of love to respond to God's grace with appreciation. So you can't just go around insulting his gift by going about life as if you haven't quite earned that grace yet. And you're still trying to do things in order to deserve it. You know, that's like slapping God in the face. Now, here he is. He has freely given you a gift, and you're still trying to turn it into something that it wasn't, that it isn't. You see, the whole point here and is that we're not deserving of God's grace. That's why he purchased it for us. Then, after he bought it for us, he turned around and lavished it upon us. And lavish means he just pours it out. You know, there is an abundance. Oh, he slathers it on. Hallelujah. He overflows it. He heaps it. Because he does, and he does it according to the kind intention of his will. Now, I came to tell you this morning that there is no such thing as a good Christian. You may have heard me say this before, and you'll keep hearing me say it over and over again. Because as soon as I say to you that man is a good Christian, you know what I've done? I've left you with the impression that the man referred to does things or has done something in order to earn the title of good Christian when you can't. If I exhort you to be a good Christian, I would place you under a burden that you won't be able to carry. And then when you fall, because you will fall, you'll go about feeling as though you are not a good Christian. And in our minds, it also places Christians on various levels of worth and acceptance in God. Nope, not life in the pit of hell. God loves all of his children the same. He values us all the same. Now, we might be at different levels or different junctions of our Christian walk, but God loves us the same. Oh, I can hear you. Now, somebody may be thinking, well, Apostle Shirlene Cook, if there's no such thing as a good Christian, then what kind of Christians are there? Ha! I'm so glad you asked. Because I have an answer for you. The answer to your query is redeemed. And the word tells us to let the redeemed of the Lord say so. But for me, it's not enough to say so. I'm going to tell you why I say so. And what I will believe will be evidenced by the way that I live my life. You see, A Christian is simply someone whose sins have been forgiven, and now they possess eternal life, and they know it. A Christian is someone that welcomes the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and has been accepted in and is now forever associated with a risen and glorified Christ. A Christian is one that is dead to sin and the law and finds his object and his delight and his spiritual sustenance in the Lord, who loved us and gave himself for us. And they will spend their time just waiting on Jesus to come back. Uh-huh. That's all they do. They just want to love on the Lord, delight in the Lord, obey the Lord, trust the Lord as they wait on his return. A redeemed Christian is a saved by grace through faith kind of Christian. Huh? Because, honey, we walk by faith and we're sustained by grace. And the second response to God's grace is that we will be ministers of grace to others. You see, as God's grace flows into us, we will then turn around and demonstrate that same grace toward others. Picture for just a moment a clear glass tube. It is open at both ends, and as quickly as water is poured into it, the water flows out the other end. Or even better yet, picture a circle hose. You know, a circle hose has holes all over it, and it's angled in various directions so that as the water flows into one end of the hose, it squirts out in many different directions from the smaller hose, and it waters a larger area. So the grace that God lavishes on us should then pour out to others unchanged. It should be sacrificial. It should be uninhibited. And yes, saints of God, it should be abundant. Now, having said that, we all know that it's not always going to be that way because we still tend to be petty, sinful little people. But I came to tell somebody this morning that as God continues his sanctifying work in us, conforming us to the image of his Son and making us more like him, we will be able to administer God's grace with consistency and purity. This brings me full circle back to the story of the young preacher at the beginning of the teaching that makes me want to ask you a few questions today. One is, are you a Christian that has not been operating in God's grace? Now, I want you to keep it real now, and I want you to really think about that. Hallelujah. Are you a Christian that has not been operating in grace? Oh, you may know where the scriptures are in the Bible, and you may be able to quote them verbatim, but are you truly showing the love and the grace of God in your delivery? If that's you, I pray that you will repent right now and truly receive God's grace for yourself. I want you to take hold of the fact that God's grace is not based on what you do, but it's based on who he is and who our relationship, what kind of relationship we have with him. Or maybe you're that Christian that has gotten mad at God because of the way you have been treated by people in the church. As I said earlier, beloved, you need to remember that when people try to tear you down, God will lift you up. People may reject you, disrespect you, misuse you, and mistreat you, but God's grace is still sufficient. God's grace will always sustain you. When others have made you feel unaccepted, unwanted, and unloved, I beseech you to just go over to Romans 8 and start reading. And there God will remind you that There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through flesh, God did by sending his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. Remember, Jesus has already paid it all. He's already done the work. All you have to do is receive. Hallelujah. We need to walk in the Spirit, family, and not in the flesh. And if and when we fall short and we are being rejected anywhere because of our past mistakes, we need to remember that although we can be rejected by man, we haven't been rejected by God. If you are no longer walking with God, know this. It's because you walked away, not him. If you fall short, just remember the Apostle Peter. Oh, mistakes. I mean, he made some doozies. But not only did God reinstate him, he used Peter mightily to bring him glory. You see, if we are to exalt in God's wonderful grace, in God's wonderful grace lavished upon us according to his kind intentions of his will, we must trust him and walk in grace. If we are to lift up our praises to him and joyfully proclaim that he has made us holy and blameless before him and that in Christ we have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in high places and heavenly places, we must trust him and walk in grace. And we must always be prepared to recognize and acknowledge that this marvelous grace, it flows equally. We have to know that the words of Ephesians 1 and 7 apply equally to each and every person on this world and on this earth, but it especially applies to those in the church who have hurt us the most. Again, their ungrace does not nullify, disqualify, or cancel out God's grace. And their sin is paid for by the same blood that paid for your sin and for my sin. And let me just put some more food for thought in your ear this morning. Do you realize that when we continue to look back at the times we've been treated with disdain ungraceful Christians, and then we begin to entertain contempt in our own minds and loathing in our own hearts for them and their ungodly actions toward us, that we become them? Yes. See, we can't go around holding grudges and holding unforgiveness and holding on to the past, because God does. He doesn't hold on to our past. He has forgiven us, and he has forgiven us completely. But I do tell you the truth. The longer I'm in ministry, the more it seems that many Christians are operating with less grace. You know, folks who profess to be Christians think it's okay to just pop up on your doorstep without so much as a phone call, with absolutely no regard to what God is doing in you at the moment. They think that's okay. Oh, they find nothing wrong with sitting under you as a leader in order to get a piece of paper, but they never possess the desire to truly learn what it takes to be a servant after God's heart in the first place. Oh, they want to be seen and heard, and they are ready, willing, and able to tell others what's wrong with them. Family, there's a whole lot of our brothers and sisters who are living in a state of ungrace. But just as I quoted Brother Yancey at the beginning of this teaching, I'm going to quote him here again at the end. He said, the only thing harder than forgiveness is the alternative. I just love this whole book. In some cases, we may never see the people that hurt us again. Some of them have died, and they gone. Some folks that hurt us, we might not have even known their name. And some of all of these people may never repent because for their thoughts or their actions toward us, because you know what? They believe they were right. But guess what? That none of that should be our concern. And why should none of that be our concern? Well, it won't be our concern when we know and understand that we are recipients of God's grace as revealed to us here in Ephesians 1. Nothing will ever change that. It is not something we deserve or somehow brought on for ourselves. Therefore, it is not something man can take away. We have redemption through the blood of Jesus according to the riches of God's grace, and that will never change until we hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." But I do want to tell you that in order to fully enjoy and appreciate the presence of God's grace in our lives, we must first release the ungrace of our own past. And I know that we too are a part of that "we" that is mentioned in Ephesians 1:7. And in love, we must forgive others. And we must be an instrument of grace. Now, oh, what? Do you think I'm asking something that's too hard? Do you think it's impossible? Some of you may be thinking, again, "Look, Apostle Cook, I can still feel the sting of that pain. My wound is never completely healed because there has been no reckoning. I was hurt and they got away with it. How can you expect me to forgive? How can I find any joy in the thought that they can get away with what they did to me?" Well, my dear friend, the first thing I'll say is that I don't expect you to forgive, but God does, because he has forgiven us. And not only should we forgive others as we have been forgiven, we should pray for them. Because when we are treated with ungrace, we need to know that it's because they have never understood or recognized the outpouring of God's grace in their own lives. Hurt people, okay? Next, if you're having trouble with forgiveness, I would encourage you to go to a quiet place where there's nobody but you and the Lord. And then while you're there, you ask him to help you to forgive. And guess what God will do? He'll just give you some more grace so that you'll be able to do it. And when you go to God and do that, I guarantee, after you cried and made your ugly faces and poured your soul out before the Lord, and you have truly said in your heart that you forgive them for whatever that thing was, I'm telling you, you will actually feel the release. Yes, you will. It'll be like a heavy burden just lifted up off your soul. Joy will flood your heart, and you'll know the fullness of his grace. Brothers and sisters, please don't let the memory of the ungrateful people in your life hold you back from enjoying the peace of God in your heart. Don't do that. Ephesians 1, 7, and 8 says he has plenty of grace for you and for them, and it will never run out. And even though you may never see or hear from those people that hurt you the most again, you should still be a conduit of God's grace. You need to pray, forgive them, and let them go. This is the way you prove yourself to be a good steward of the manifold grace of God. May he take the truth of these things and seal them in your hearts today by his Holy Spirit who has given them to me. His love has no limit. His grace has no measure. His power has no boundaries known unto men. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth again. To God be the glory, and may he add a blessing to the hearers, readers, and doers of his holy and righteous word. Amen and amen and amen. At this time, I'm going to ask for our pastor and prophet, Vanessa Carver, to come on in the room and to seal this message with prayer. Because, and the reason I asked her to do that is because when this sister prays, she prays in the spirit and in the prophetic. She prays not what for what we want to hear, but she prays for what is needed pertaining to the message that was just sent forth. So Pastor Vanessa, please come on in the room and pray for us. Amen. Oh, hold on. Hallelujah. She must be upstairs with hubby.
She can
hear. Okay, I'm here. Can you hear me?
So we're ready. Yes, I can
hear me? Okay, thank
you. Yes.
Okay. Apostle Cook, first, and everyone, one of the things I heard God say, the whole message was finished work. And so we're going to pray from that place as we feel this message, Lord. And I thank you for your loving kindness and tender mercies, and your name is great. And when we read the word and study the word together, Lord, we're making your name great in the earth. And so I just thank you, Lord, today for replenishing and restoring the vessel. As in Apostle Cook, strengthen her, Lord, spiritually and naturally from anything that was depleted from her person as she imparted to us the power of this word and for this time. I thank you, Lord, today as a finished work, that those who are struggling right now, Lord, begin to believe your word and stand in your word. I thank you, Father God, today that you begin to create them a clean heart and renew within them the right spirit as we walk according to what it is to be redeemed. I thank you, Father God, today that those are dealing with confusion and bondage, things that get in the way of them obeying what we heard today. Just understanding the impartation to understand what your word says versus what somebody was taught or some level of confusion. I just thank you, Lord, today that they be free from that. I thank you, Lord, today that they dare to believe your word and trust your word. And trust your word of what you said, that it is enough, a finished work. Anything that you've done, Lord, is enough. It's enough. And so I thank you, Lord, today that as a woman of God spoke, that you seal this word for those who do believe, who have gained understanding, who were imparted, Father God, to live in a place of victory. And as we begin to focus on this word throughout our week, Lord, you add to it what it needs to be added and expound upon us individually as well as a group what it is to be in a place of redemption. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes, his grace is sufficient, and I love the Lord. And now at this time, I would like to ask Apostle Zeta, and usually I let Apostle Zeta know when I'm going to ask her to do something because that's part of being gracious toward people, but I can do this with Apostle Zeta because here is one that leads people to the Lord daily. Daily, she is trying to impart the word and lift up God in a way that somebody might come to him. See, she doesn't need a global network or a microphone to lead somebody to Jesus. Here is a sister that can stand flat-footed on the word of God through the grace of God and invite you to come. So at this time, I'm going to turn the service back over to Apostle Zeta, and you may talk to somebody out there, Apostle, who might have felt a nudge from the Lord, but they're just not sure. But we're going to ask that you lead someone to the Lord right now. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, a wonderful message has gone forth. Praise God. And it was so plain, hallelujah, that I believe that all that heard it had an understanding of it. Praise God. So if there's anyone, hallelujah, that was listening to this message, praise God, that is ready to give their lives over to Christ, today is your appointed time. Praise God.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And it is so easy to do so. Praise God. Hallelujah. She talked about redemption. Hallelujah. In her message, she talked about grace. Hallelujah. God has extended that to us, all of us, as she was saying. So we all, hallelujah, have that right, hallelujah, to accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, hallelujah, and to learn more and more about him, hallelujah, as we continue to stay with God and allow for his teachings to saturate us, hallelujah, that you can have a right relationship with him. Praise God. Hallelujah. So I'm going to read some scriptures and I'm going to lead you into prayer. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Thank you,
Father God,
Lord.
We thank you. We thank you for that beautiful message that has gone forth. We thank you that it was a touching message. We thank you that it allowed us to know, hallelujah, a little bit more, hallelujah, about what redemption means to us, hallelujah, and that how you extended your grace toward us. Praise God. Hallelujah. But I'm going to read a few scriptures here out of Romans, the 10th chapter. And it says, starting with the 8th verse, because she just heard the word, and the scripture says that the word is near thee, hallelujah, even in your mouth, hallelujah, and in your heart.
Yes.
That is the word of faith which we preach, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We accept Jesus Christ by faith. And that means to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, hallelujah, that God gave his Son, hallelujah, so that we could live, amen, and not only just exist in our living, but to live eternally, eternally in him, eternally with him, praise God. All right, verse 9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God has raised him, Jesus, that is, from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Hallelujah. Now I'm going to pray a prayer for you that is desiring to accept Jesus this morning and to have him a part of your life. Father God, I come to you asking that you would forgive me of all of my sins. I desire a right relationship with you. I desire to know you in the pardoning of my sins.
Yes.
Please forgive me for all of my sins. In Jesus' name, I desire for you to accept me as yours. This day,
yes,
in Jesus' name, I desire to be saved. And I believe,
yes,
that you, Jesus, is the Son of God. And I believe that you died for me and that you rose again on the third day,
yes,
according to the scriptures. And I am ready to be saved. Amen. And that's all it takes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because the word of God says, for whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. So we are glad that you have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. Hallelujah.
Yes.
And we praise God for you. And we pray right now, hallelujah, this one, Lord, are these ones that have accepted you this morning. We pray for them, Lord, that they will be led, hallelujah, to a place where they can know more about you. Hallelujah. That,
yes,
that the right leader will be placed, hallelujah, in their lives. Hallelujah. That they will gain further knowledge through your word, hallelujah, and through the teachings of one, hallelujah, that is teaching the true word. And we thank you for it. Amen and amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Now, at
thank
this
you,
time,
Lord.
I would like to Thank you, Lord. I want to turn this portion of the service over to our mighty man of God, to our own beloved Bishop Lester Carver. I'm going to ask him to come in now with the word for the men, because we truly believe in God's order of things, and we want our brothers to be everything that God has called them to be. So, Bishop Lester, come on in the room and take your time.
Praise the Lord, Apostle Cook. The word for the men today is do not be weary in doing good. And this is very important for us as men, because what we do really has to be an extension of our heart for God. And when I say for us as men, I mean us as men of God. And I want to take this particular portion of scripture from Proverbs chapter 28. And in verse 19, it says, in Proverbs chapter 28, it says, he who tills his land will have plenty of bread, but he who follows frivolity will have poverty enough. A faithful man will abound with blessings, but he who hastens to be rich will not go unpunished. The last verse I'd like to look at is in verse 8 of Proverbs 28, where it says, one who increases in possessions by usury and extortion gathers it for him who will pity the poor. So now, as you do not weary in doing well, as you stay strong and pull your lane, you're going to have what you need. You're not going to be like one of those who follows after frivolity and finds himself in poverty. And you're going to be a faithful man that abounds with blessings. But those who hasten to be rich, those who spend every waking moment thinking about money, thinking financial gain, and those who will go as far as exploiting the poor through usury, through excessive loans and extortion, they gather it for those who will pity the poor. So we are merciful for the poor and faithful in tilling our own land so that we have not just what we need, but we have enough to help meet the needs of others. That is the word for the men today. Do not be weary in doing good.
Oh, hallelujah. That was good right there. Hallelujah. Okay. Okay. Now, hallelujah. All right. At this time, I'm always led by the Spirit, and I'm always going to do what the Spirit says. So this morning, if there's anyone amongst us who has not been in fellowship with us for a while, or who this is your first time being with us, and you would like to give God a word of praise, or you would just like to let everyone know that you were here this morning, if you would kindly press your 1, I will address you on your keypad, on your phone. I will kindly address you by your area code and the last 4 digits of your phone number. Because we can, if we had 10,000 tongues, we could not give God enough praise for all the wonderful things that he does for us. And while I wait to see if we have anyone that may want to have a word, I'm going to give you our church announcements, because I was led to just begin to let you know what we have available here on the Spirit Alive Network this week so that you might govern yourselves accordingly. On tomorrow, join me in the war room for radical prayer. I did not say join me for prayer. I said join me in the war room for radical prayer tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. Hallelujah. Come on out. Lift up your prayers. If you know that prayer changes things, if you know that God is able, come on out and stand with us on tomorrow night. And then on Tuesday, We have our wonderful bishop back in the house for his Tuesday night teachings, which airs at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Our brother has really been teaching, and he really does teach in a way that if you are seeking to live an abundant life, he will give you all the tools that you need in order to do so. And then on Wednesday night, please join our beautiful apostle, Apostle Zeta Flowers, for All Nations Bible Study. Hallelujah. She airs at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, because she is in California on the West Coast. Hallelujah. And she is also teaching on redemption. And I praise the Lord, because repentance, redemption, these are some grace. You can't teach those enough. We can't disciple. We cannot use that in our discipleship teachings enough. Thank you, Lord. And then on Friday, you can join myself and Brother Rick Altman for the Common Sense Files. Now, the Common Sense Files are for those of you who are not, you're on the fence. You're not really religious. You don't really know where you're at. Well, we're going to show you the common sense in following the word of God. So come on out at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on Friday for the Common Sense Files. And then on Saturday, you can at 12 noon Eastern Standard Time, you can join Minister Adam Tuggle for the summit. He comes out and he wants to take you higher in the Lord. Hallelujah. So with that being said, I see no ones being pressed. I would like to just thank everyone that was here in the sanctuary today, for all of you that were in our chat rooms, for those of you that listen via your Skype or your Instagram. I'm so glad that you were with us today. Hallelujah. I just pray that you really do get a good feel of God's grace this week. Hallelujah. I want to also say a special good morning. I'm just led to this morning pray. Before we get out of here, I want to say a special prayer for the elders of our ministry this morning. I just feel led to pray for Elder Nita and Elder Linda and Elder Lee and Elder Terry and all of our elders, Elder Mother Matt T, Mother Givens.
Yes,
I'm led to just say a prayer for them this morning. Lord God, we come once again lifting up our elders to you, Father God. We come lifting them up and honoring them before your throne of grace, mm-hmm. O Lord, because you have instructed us to give double honor to our elders, especially those that walk after the doctrine. So, Lord, we come lifting them up this morning. We come praying to you, Jehovah Jireh, that every need will be met, O God. We come praying to you, Jehovah Rapha, hallelujah, that healer. That everything that hurts, Lord God, in mind, body, or spirit,
Lord Jesus,
will be touched by your finger of love, and you will lift them up a little bit
right
higher
now
today, oh God.
Yes.
Right now in the name of Jesus, we pray for our elders who have lost so many family members and loved ones who may be feeling hurt, who may be feeling alone, who may be feeling forgotten, Lord.
Yes,
we came by this morning to let them know we have not forgotten them here. We love them here.
Yes.
We pray for them here.
Yes, we
and
do.
We use them in the service here. Because you are not a respecter of persons. You use us until you call us home. So, Lord, I pray to you, Jehovah Shalom, that you would just speak peace to their very souls. And that not just peace, Lord, but that peace that surpasses all understanding, Lord. And we pray that you would just fulfill their joy, because we know that the joy of the Lord is our strength. So, Lord, strengthen them. Lord, we pray for every, against every negative spirit, every negative person, every negative thing that would try to come against our elders, oh Lord. We're asking right now in the name of Jesus that you block the scammers, that you block the perpetrators, that you block those who will prey on our elderly, Lord God. I pray in the name of Jesus, in the spirit of Nehemiah, that you would take them down and take them out.
Thank you, Jesus. In the name of
Lord,
Jesus.
Lord, we are tired. We don't want to see, we want to see our elders enjoying their lives, enjoying serving you in their latter years. We want to see them, Lord God, just secure and knowing that they're loved, not just by you,
Jesus,
God, but by us.
Yes.
So, Lord, I just pray that on this day, you would lift up our elders. And, Lord, we're praying for every caregiver that takes care of the elderly, that takes care of children. We pray for our caregivers, because many times it can be a thankless job. It can be a job that is made hard by the very people that they serve. So, Lord, I just want you to strengthen them and encourage their hearts today. And we will be so careful to give you the honor and the glory and the praise. Lord, I just pray that we would all come up a little higher in you, that we would all be more gracious one toward another, that we would all, hallelujah, do all that we can to serve one another in love and to worship you in spirit and in truth. And it is in your holy and righteous name we do pray it all. Amen and amen. And we thank you, Jesus. We glorify you, Jesus. I know I'm happy right about now. Hallelujah. You know,
amen.
I get joy when I just do what the Lord tells me to do. Amen, amen. So, if there be nothing else, I will now dismiss you. Hallelujah. Now may the grace of God and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide in you greatly. I would like to thank my beautiful family, hallelujah, Bishop Lester Carver, Apostle Zeta Flowers, Pastor Vanessa Carver, Deacon Wim Isabel, all of our elders. We just want to thank, I want to thank all of you for being here and for your faithfulness. And I just want to say to each and every one of you, it is on behalf of all of us, it is our fervent prayer that you continue to have a beautiful day, have a beautiful and blessed week, acknowledge Christ in all that you do, and we pray that you be ye transformed. You are dismissed. Go with God, and remember, God loves you, and so do we. If you are sitting in the sanctuary, all mics are unmuted, so if you'd like to say bye to everybody. Hallelujah. I love you.
Bye, everybody. Love you guys.
You're here.
Love
you.
Praise
the Lord.
God bless
love you. Anita.
Have a blessed week.
I see you, Anita. Have a blessed week, everybody. God bless you. God bless you, Sister Kathy.
God bless
love you.
Amen. Love you, baby. Love you all.
Amen.
Love you.